We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. Mike, as we get ready for another week with our Falcons, we'll be up at Flowery Branch tomorrow, guys. All of our interviews and whatnot, our conversation with Coach Ra. But last night was interesting because we said this is a big game for the Bucs. It's a big game for the Ravens. We were watching because we wanted to see what the Bucs were going to do. Now, they scored 31 points, but they lost. But they lost bigger when it comes to the injury front. Because, Mike, going into our game on Sunday in a short week,
right,
they're going to be without both of their starting wide receivers now.
Right. Future Hall of Famer and Mike Evans gone to at least week 11. Done for the season is Chris Godwin. Again, we got Falcon fans, as a couple guys have said on our text line, we've seen these guys eating our lunch for, you know, for all nearly a decade.
Evans loves to play us.
Right, and always comes up big. So they're out for this game. You got Tyke Smith is out, maybe out with a concussion. He's got a clear protocol. As you know, usually that doesn't happen in a week's time, a short turnaround from a Monday. So they're missing some pieces. They've already got some issues at times on the offensive line. This is like, geez, I mean, I never wish this on another team because we've had to deal with injuries so many times the last 5 or 6 years, but this is literally the Ravens just beat them up. Ravens looked like they were going to get beat up in the first 5 minutes, didn't it?
It did.
They were getting after Lamar Jackson, had 2 sacks in a row, and then, man, we talked about Todd Monken, whatever they fixed and figured out, man, and then eventually they got Derrick Henry rolling, and he had a monster night last night.
All right, so, Mike, here's the thing, though. For this week, right, and we'll ask Coach Ra, and I know he doesn't, we can't take anything for granted.
No.
We cannot mention
what you mentioned earlier about was it the Chargers game a couple years ago?
Oh, well, when Justin Herbert came in here with no starting wide receivers and Austin Eckler was his running back, and we were like, oh!
We got this.
Their offense, they're single-handed. I mean, they don't have anything to do right against us. And Eckler has like 300 yards, and I'm over-exaggerating, but literally Herbert and Eckler beat us by themselves. And so I don't take anything for granted. We cannot go into this week saying, hey, we can control the NFC South if we win on Sunday. I know you're going down there, but you've got to go handle business. And they're going to find some guys, Mike, who will catch passes. Listen, Liam Combe, who is the new offensive coordinator there, they'll be creative to try to get the ball to some of these other guys. But the fact is, they're not the same team without Evans and Godwin. But I cannot just go, okay, we're right. Good.
They're going to bring some guys off the practice squad or have to get some new dudes because they've got three wide receivers on the IR. And you got Jalen McMillan, Trey Palmer, Sterling Shepard. Remember Sterling Shepard of the Giants? Those are your other wide receivers we'll see on Sunday.
All right. As we talk about the Falcons, I want you to hear a couple of things because as we get ready for the Bucs now, and again, I said this, win this game, you are in total control of this division. That means you will have swept the Bucs. You have another game coming with the Saints, who are in disarray as well in their own, you know, respects. And then the Carolina Panthers are just terrible. So you could easily set yourself up, Mike, to do exactly what we wanted to do at the beginning of the season, which is win this division. Here is Kirk Cousins talking about his mindset and the mindset, hopefully, of the team heading into this week against Tampa.
You know, this is pro football, and you have to go back and have candor about, hey, I got to be better. This has to be better. Make the improvements, corrections, and then put together a strong week of practice and then go with a resolve to Tampa and plan on playing your best football you possibly can. That's what it takes to win in this league, and that's what we have to do.
You know, you and I were talking about this yesterday. It just seems like the media, and like I'm not saying we're all in this together, like you're in cahoots, but it was just like that game was so flat and so lifeless that we just kind of like turned the page and started talking about the Bucs almost immediately. But it's still a conference loss, and there were still moments. Went back as Carl and I, we it's part of our job. You think our job's fun? You had to watch a bad game like that over again.
It was awful.
But watching on the DVR, and it's like the one big moment, and I think we talked about this yesterday, was the drop. Look, we love Drake. He's got a huge catch radius. He can go up the ladder and get everything. He's got to catch that pass. I know on the score sheet, all you see is 2 interceptions for Cousins. Now, one interception was terribly overthrew, but that ball's catchable. That goes right through Drake London's hands.
Totally agree. Those are plays that we didn't make that we have to make. Bijan Robinson was asked about his mindset for Tampa.
You know, I want to get the win. Obviously, I always want to win these games for the teammates, for everybody here. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and watch this film, and I'm going to put this to the side. And, you know, this is a big one next week, so we gotta make sure we're locked in on the offense and on the defense and on special teams. But, you know, with that run game and that pass game, we need to make sure that we're dialing in, you know, all week for that game on Sunday.
Okay, so, Mike, we've got 6 total sacks in 7 games. Tampa will be all out against Kirk Cousins because of his lack of mobility. It's just what it is. They went after Lamar last night, got him a couple of times, and then they had to come off of it because they got down in that game and he was eating them alive. He threw 5 touchdowns, by the way, last night. No interceptions. Kirk is very capable of that, but they've got to protect him. So Raheem Morris was asked about when and how they decide with rush situations. Mm. And I want you to hear this because, again, the 6 total sacks in 7 games has us a little concerned.
You know, the hardest times when you get down to those seconds at the end of halves, you know, it's like a Hail Mary situation. How many are you going to rush? You know, some people rush an overload. Some people rush 3. Some people rush none, you know, depending on what the situation is when you're talking about the Hail Mary situation. This wasn't quite the Hail Mary. This was kind of the must out of bounds or the ozone type plays that you hear about a little bit on television where it must be out of bounds or in the end zone. So when you're protecting the out of bounds because you throw it in front and we get a tackle, the half's over, that could be disastrous for them. We're talking about those guys like we did a couple years ago when they couldn't finish that thing in the playoffs a couple years ago. But what you want to get done for us, man, is get this guy to throw the ball in bounds or then throw it out of bounds, settle over his head. They're kicking a long field goal. They either make it or miss it at that point. And at this point against us, people have been nailing those things. But, you know, you can't let that guy across your face to be able to go do those things. There's a lot of thought process going in that. And we went with the outside 2-man version of what we wanted to do. And we can't let that guy get across our face from a safety standpoint. And we got to make those plays.
He's talking about the touchdown before the half. Do you send more rush? Do you do something in the secondary? So he's laying that out. But either way, we gave up a huge
right.
touchdown.
And
there.
Remember, guys, 2 weeks in a row, we gave the Carolina Panthers life by letting them score, go right down the field, touchdown. Right? I think that was right before the half. Same thing happened this week. We had that option, you know, that the running back option pass. Right? Remember that one?
Oh, that's right.
Where they go up high, and our guys just not in position to make a play. But yeah, getting back to the moves before the half, those are major. You know, backbreakers and momentum shifters, you know, for your team. So that's got to get tightened up. Our good friend Tori McElhaney, who writes for the Falcons website, and we'll see you up there at the branch, she had an article talking about getting after the quarterback. And, you know, yes, we're getting closer, but we're still not getting there. And, you know, even though we got more hits and got more rushes on Lamar Jackson, he scored 2 touchdowns against our pressure. So the failure rate is still... You know, whatever our getting close to rate is, and they, you know, they joke around about hand grenades because, you know, you don't have to hit somebody directly with a hand grenade. It'll blow up 5 feet from you. You're done. That's why we've got to get there. We're not getting there. And I just don't know where we're going to get this help from, because unless we try to make a trade at the deadline or before, there's just nobody seemingly in this building that can go get the quarterback on the ground. And if we're honest, can we call a spade here? Can be 100%? Is Matthew Judon is not what he was advertised as. And I love the guy's game. I love his attitude. I've seen him getting held every week, Carl, but he's got to be better. We thought we were getting a guy who was going to get, like, you know, 8 or 9 sacks this year.
Yeah, and maybe he still does. And you meant, was it Lamar? Who were you talking about? Geno Smith?
Yeah, getting a Geno Smith.
Okay. I think with Judon, Mike, part of this is, to your point, that's the focal point. He's going to be the guy that teams focus on and make sure that he doesn't disrupt. I said this to somebody else because they asked me over the weekend, is he a bust? No. He is still affecting plays. He's just not getting the sacks. And if you were to say, how is he affecting plays? To Torrey's point, he's getting rushed. They're getting hits. He's involved. He's getting tip balls. There are things that are happening that he's involved in. But the sack numbers are simply not there. And is that a function of him just not getting there? Or is that a function of anybody on this team and the scheme that we're trying to get to or run against any particular team is just not being effective enough? Mike, sometimes... you just got to have a guy that wins. It's why these elite guys are elite. And it's why it doesn't matter what their teammates do. They're going to win. Bosa's going to win. TJ Watt's going to win.
Right.
Aiden Hutchinson's going to win. Like, that's just what it comes down to. Sometimes you just need a guy to win. We haven't had enough of that.
Nope. And, guys, we talked about him coming down here after, if you go back and look at it, 21 season, he had 12.5 sacks. 22, 15.5. 23, he has a torn bicep. He had 4 sacks in 4 games for a to shut it down. So, remember, and this was the debate, we were watching it because it was a bit of a controversy, what was going on, him interacting with Gerard Mayo up there in New England. He's 32. He's giving it all he can. I've said it. He's getting held. Refs aren't calling it. Some aren't calling it on Sunday. But right now, do the Patriots maybe knew something that didn't? No. I thought this is going to amplify and make everything better on the opposite end, and that hasn't happened yet.
Not yet. We'll see. They're going to come after our guy. We got to get after theirs. And I'm talking about Baker Mayfield. Hey, man, coming up, strong arm story of the day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings, where it's Wing Tuesday. Buy one, get one half off traditional wings at Buffalo Wild Wings.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bucks are up next for us. We got to find a way to get some pressure on Baker Mayfield. Listen, Ravens did it. They had a couple of sacks taken away. They had, I think, three sacks in the game. And then Baker threw two picks, which, again, Mike, if he throws it to us on Sunday, we're going to be in great shape. But I feel like a little bit of Baker was, you know, he's feeling overconfident, right? He's been playing well, but he's feeling a little bit overconfident. Oh, I can fit it in that window. And he made some errant throws last night. But we're talking about that, and we're going to get to these NFL injuries because, guys, the injuries right now in this league are affecting a lot of teams, and what we thought they might be, including the Bucs, may not happen now. Right. So we'll get to that. But, Mike, I just wanted to mention that this, you know, for us to get that pressure, I mean, let's go watch the Ravens, and I know they will. Let's get up the middle. Let's attack this guy up the gut, Mike. He's not a big, you know, from a stature-sized quarterback. You can affect Baker that way, and I don't think it all has to come off the edge necessarily.
No, and a couple of things from last night. I mean, as you said, it looked like Tampa Bay was just going to run Baltimore right out of the building, like in the first 5 minutes, and then Baltimore kind of got things going. Derrick Henry, big, big run, and they scored 34 points, unanswered points. It was 34-10. And then Tampa Bay comes back big time, 21 points in the fourth.
Yes.
And I saw that, you know, Todd Bowles had answered questions. He was very curt. We already played the audio. But I just think, like, Baker and this team, you scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. You're feeling we can still get this. And these are competitors. And without Evans, you got to have somebody who can go vertical. So I know that immediately, you're trying to win. If you're a Bucs fan and you're at that game and they start sitting everybody down 10, who does that?
Nobody.
So it becomes this thing where, and it was one of the reporters in there, of course, coach, you had him in there down 10 with a minute left. Yeah, because we're trying to compete. We're trying to win a game. So, I mean, I can't get in on that, you know, as far as the Tuesday morning quarterbacks, in this case, getting on Todd Bowles. But it just sucks. And the guy is such a leader on that team. And, yeah, as we said, nobody wants to see a guy go out like that. And now he's done for the year with the ankle dislocated.
No doubt. And, Mike, here's the other thing they lose before we get to these injuries. With Evans, you lose the ability for Baker, or even when the GOAT was there, right, you could throw up a ball, he was going to go get it. Like, it didn't have to be perfect. And with Evans, that's those 50-50 balls. You're going to lose that ability with whomever's going to step in there, Mike, because Evans, you just trust him. He may not be open right now, but I'm going to throw this ball anyway. So that element is gone, and Godwin was the best slot wide receiver in the NFL, guys, this year. I mean, the numbers prove it out. He was probably the best statistically slot guy, and now he's out of that lineup.
The the injuries we mentioned, at least 3 weeks for Evans, maybe after week 11, he could potentially come back. So we were talking about the Rams off the air. The Rams apparently are maybe shopping both Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Puka Nacua is starting to get a timeline when he can sort of get back to practice for the Rams. But the Vikings, maybe just the way the Steelers upgraded, no disrespect to Fields, but, you know, Russell Wilson just gives you more options. Imagine Matthew Stafford throwing at Justin Jefferson. Hey, that's been a story that at least Pro Football Talk has been banging the drum on today. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And what are the odds we see Cooper Kupp on Sunday?
Anything is possible.
Because they got to do something. If the Bucs feel this is a team which is capable of making a run, which
absolutely,
they certainly look like.
Well, Todd Bowles has got to get back to the playoffs. I mean, he saved his job last year, and that was great. But, you know, you can't not feel like we have a playoff team and not try to do everything you can. Here's the thing about the quarterback thing, though, Mike. Again, we get back. You're talking about the Vikings. You're going to go with how old now is Matthew Stafford? 35, 36, mm-hmm, right? Year-old quarterback who may have two more years maybe left.
Well, you still got J.J. McCarthy, so whatever this is on his contract, yeah, he's coming, he's 36.
They drafted McCarthy. This makes no sense to me. I mean, like, this is one of those stories. It may happen, but it just makes no sense. Sam Darnold's playing really good football, guys. They're not losing because of Sam Darnold. He played well in their loss against the Lions. I don't know. I mean, unless they're just – And by the way, what are the Vikings giving up, and why would you when you just drafted a guy in the top 10 of the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look and see what Matthews, what if there's voidable years, or how the contract plays out for what you'd be in, you know, what you'd be taking on. I'll look that up right now. But just it's something that's out there. If anybody else in the next 2 weeks loses a quarterback, someone's going to call the Rams, because at least it's out there in the ether that they could be. This just came from Sporting News. Debunking rumors, would Vikings really pursue Matthew Stafford, to
yeah.
your point?
Yeah, I just, and here's the deal. If Darnold went down, that's different. Because now you're saying we're 5-6-1, whatever it is, we need a guy to get us there. Okay, what are we looking at?
Now, like if the Raiders were, I just lost the DC, if Minshew didn't suck and the Raiders were looking to do something, okay, that yeah. might be one that makes sense, but that's not right there. Stafford, yeah, yeah, there's in the opt-out after next season, and there's a lot of money still on the hook.
All right, let's talk about some of these injuries. I don't know if one's bigger than the other. The one team that I feel like we thought, most people said, they're going to be good again and they'll be back in the mix was the 49ers. No Christian McCaffrey. Now you're talking about, you know, Deebo Samuel, who left Sunday's game, had pneumonia-like illness, okay?
He just got out. Ayuk is done.
Ayuk is done. Mike, the 49ers now, this thing doesn't look as bright as it once did, and I don't care how good you think Brock Purdy is. He's not going to carry him without those dudes, okay? He's just not. So that's a team, like right now, if you ask me how the NFC is shaping up, they're going to have some problems trying to get there. I just believe that. The other injuries, and again, there's a ton around the league as you look at, you know, what's been going on, how these injuries affect certain teams. Listen, the Bucs obviously are front and center for us, so that's a big deal. And if we get past the Bucs, then, you know, they're going to have to deal with their own issues. But not winning this division, now you're trying to get in the playoffs a whole different way with the wild card, Mike. They're going to have some troubles there. But also, as we were talking about some of these injuries, and I wonder, there was one other one that I was mentioning with the Chargers, I think it is, that is going to hurt the Chargers with their offensive line. And I can't remember who it was. Oh, and their wide receiver, too. And they got wide receiver issues, Bosa's out, and they got offensive linemen that are hurt. And they lost last night.
Yeah, and that was a game that was just kind of meh. A lot of field goals in that one on ESPN+. By the way, these doubleheaders on Monday night are such a drag. But, yeah, last night it was interesting. Marvin Harrison wide open again. They go with, like, the fourth option in it. It's like a backup running back catches a touchdown. So Kyler Murray and him still not getting on the same page. But getting back to the Chargers, and they're grinding it. Because if you own Justin Herbert, you dropped him already if you had him in fantasy, because it's all about Harbaugh, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Every now and again, somebody popping. But, you know, and certainly Ladd McConkey's getting some opportunities for the Chargers, but it's just not dynamic for Justin Herbert, who just looks like a dude right now.
And this is not an injury, but Jameson Williams for the Lions is now suspended for 2 games.
Supposed to be, that would be, if he ever keeps his head on straight, him and Amon-Ra St. Brown should be just literally, as you said, taking the top off the defense. That would be his role. So yeah, I guess it's a PED, good old-fashioned PED suspension. He, of course, missed some games for violation of the NFL's gambling restrictions.
Yeah, and Tua's back as well. Real quick, Big O, while we're talking about this, can we hear Tua? We didn't play this earlier in the NFL Blitz. We're going to talk some college football coming up as the road to the college football playoff looks a little bit clear, a little bit.
Poor choice of words. But yeah, he's not going to wear the Guardian helmet, by the way. He's asked a few times about that, so he's not going to wear the extra protective lid.
He is not.
Nope. I mean, they think it looks silly. Some guy, I mean, brother, at this stage of your career, wear the stupid thing on your head.
I agree.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
As I said to you last, when he first got hurt, you know, earlier in the season, where the Darth Vader, or was it Dark Helmet in Spaceballs? Where that's stinking.
The oversized
look like Marvin man. The Martian if you have to, man, but protect your melon.
You're right, though. Did he have to say to the death of me? Like, really?
Yeah.
Just
turn a phrase. Hey, some Falcons news. This was kind of, Carl and I went, we actually made that noise. Philip Dorsett, from the, he was with the Broncos. He was cut. And he was just out there on a float. He's been a free agent. We've added him to our practice squad today. The Falcons have.
DB?
No.
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
All right. Unless there's something forthcoming. Somebody's banged up in the depth chart. We'll find it. I don't want to guess. We'll find out. But they did add some room. They did add a wide receiver to the room. And just real quick, we were talking.
Well, Zoe's on the IR after last week when we were there. And remember, we were concussed. And now all of a sudden, he's on the IR. So, I mean, these things happen.
Hey, man, we were talking earlier about Matthew Judon. And just, you know, we thought he would give instant life into our pass rush, or at least certainly make things pop. We thought, man, this is Ebba Cady was going to benefit from that, and that has not happened. I looked it up just for blanks and giggles. Ironically, Calais Campbell's got half a sack more than Matthew Judon. He's got two for the Dolphins this year. Obviously, this is his last year in the NFL.
Yeah.
But it's just been frustrating that we cannot seem to get things going. We're going to ask Coach Ra all about it. I know he's getting sick and tired of us asking. Braylon Trice might have been the secret sauce, Carl, in our pass rush, but we'll never know. We'll have to wait till next year to see him.
Coming up, we'll continue to talk about what's going on around college football and a story that Mike and I talked about earlier that it has a lot of interesting tidbits. Big Ten, SEC, what if I told you they were going to play more games over the next few years? And I'm talking about doing away with some of the pre-conference scheduling, instead playing Big Ten teams. Would you be for it? I came to eat. That's what Kirby said, and they did. They are number two in the country. Yes.
And then in the locker room, he said, we came to hunt. Well, right. I guess you got to hunt it, then you can eat it.
Well, they did a lot of that, Mike. Oregon is one, Georgia two, Penn State, followed by Ohio State, Texas, the U, Tennessee, LSU, Clemson, and then Iowa State. By the way, Iowa State is undefeated, so is Miami, and so is Oregon at
Sneaked
this point.
By UCF, did Iowa State at home.
They did. There are a couple of teams, again, outside the top 12. We talked about this. Indiana, they still have some tough games in front of them. They're undefeated. Pittsburgh.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Indiana's quarterback's got a thumb issue,
okay,
which requires some surgery, perhaps. I just read that.
So are the service academies, by the way. But with that said, and we know they'll play each other, Navy's got Notre Dame this week, so it's going to be tough. We'll see if they remain undefeated. Bottom line is, if the playoffs were to start today, we're talking about the top 12 teams. Notre Dame would travel to Texas, 12-5. BYU would be at Miami. Iowa State would travel to Tennessee, Mike, and then you'd have Clemson, LSU, LSU and Tennessee, should I say. Mm. And the top four teams, obviously Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, and Ohio State, if it started today, would get byes. That's not what it's going to look like. Somebody's going to win the Big Ten. Somebody's going to win the SEC, right? We know this. That could be a rematch with Texas, Georgia. We'll see how that plays out. And then you're going to have the ACC. Right now, they're outside of the top four, but Miami or Clemson's going to ultimately win that conference.
Could you imagine what it's going to be like if Texas comes here for the SEC championship in a rematch against Georgia?
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Yes.
You're going to tell Trent, no more college this year. I'm going to have to buy some tickets for Texas and Georgia.
I'll get the hookup there. I'm not even worried about it. I'm going to get the hookup. Bottom line is, for me, I want to see who emerges from, whether it's Tennessee, right? Because these are the teams that still have a legitimate shot, right? We're talking about the SEC.
I think LSU is the sleeper. I think LSU is the sleeper in the SEC. I think they could certainly, and again, yes, they did lose to USC, but again, the way Georgia looked in that first quarter against Alabama, I think they're a much better football team. What you saw them do against Arkansas, not monkeying around. This A&M game, this is a huge game this weekend. This is it's a night game, too. A&M LSU is huge.
I agree.
And Elko, I know we like that hire when they took him from Duke because it's physical, and there's still enough remnants of all the million-dollar class that Jimbo put together that's still there.
Well, just no clowning around. I mean, honestly, like, Jimbo got caught up in the whole media and responding to people instead of worrying about the coaching. And, you know, Mike, he brought in a new OC. It didn't work. Like, Elko's come in, and there's been this revitalization of just fundamentally, who the hell are we? Like, let's get away from all this other stuff. They're playing really good football. They're 14th right now. They're 6-1. You're right. If they win this week, Mike, they'll be in the top 10.
Now, the thing for them is, and they get Alabama in Death Valley coming up on the 19th of November. That's the thing. Nearly every, you know, yes, there's a few outliers and there's some other, you know, games that are, even Vandy won. Hell, Vandy beat Alabama. But this is what just makes it so special. And that's why I'm excited that we can make even more special scheduling if we can just get the Super 75, whatever we want to call it, together and get rid of the patty cake.
All right, so that gets us to this next story. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Greg Sankey, Texas president, and you're saying, well, what's he got involved? Why is he involved in this? There are a variety of presidents that are discussing this, but he's been one that's mentioned because Sankey is obviously leading the way in this conversation. But his name is Jay Hartzell. That's a Z. And they've been talking about the two super conferences potentially playing games during the regular season. And Mike and I were saying, okay, this makes sense. You just saw Texas, Georgia. That's an SEC matchup. But we're talking about SEC versus Big Ten. So take out the non-conference games for Georgia and add maybe one or two Big Ten teams, Mike, in a season and see what that looks like. I like the idea. I don't like the idea if you don't expand the playoff because I think the schedule gets ridiculous. But they're talking about 12 to 16 games per year. So maybe each team gets a game not one or two, but maybe a game, and you're going to have, you know, Ohio State play Florida. Or Tennessee might go play Rutgers. I don't know. You know, you're looking at these different games.
I was telling Carl earlier, we're kicking this idea around of, you know, you kind of take a page from the NFL and maybe your schedule is based. Now, if you are continually, perpetually in that top 10, you can't have everybody, you know, be a ranked opponent. The entire schedule be ranked. Throw in a Boston, no disrespect to Boston College, throw in a Boston College or throw in some of those other schools like, yeah, there's always some lower tier in all these Power Five. But just real quick, for Georgia fans, you're spending good money as a booster. You're now paying – eventually all these schools will be asking you for extra money for NIL. Saw that Tennessee was the first to adopt that. Well, what do you get for your money? Well, I get Marshall, Austin Peay, and I get Charlotte. I mean, come on. This is where, as I said earlier to Carl, if I'm paying money as a booster, I want the best games. And the networks want better games because they want to just obviously kill it in the ratings as they did this weekend. Both games going over 10 million, nearly 13 million people watching Georgia and Texas.
It's a big, big draw. And by the way, the Texas president said the movement in the economic setting around college sports is widening the gap between the haves and have-nots. This is kind of where we've been, you know. Hartzell says, he told CBS Sports, whether it's good or bad, it's happening. So we've got to embrace the fact that, hey, how do we benefit from this? And that's why the Big Ten and the SEC are talking. Now, by the way, none of this is going to happen immediately. But the fact that it's even out there means that there is movement here. This is the direction we're headed in, and they're going to get everybody on board. The only thing I say is if Kirby Smart or any of these other coaches say, hey, this is great, but what's the playoff look like? Because if it's 12, I don't want to do this. If it's 16 or 20, you're still giving me a chance to make the playoffs with this difficult schedule that you guys may be laying out.
I still love the idea of playing the best. I think if you are, you know, two-loss team and you're playing that strength of schedule, the strength of schedule will be weighted into it. But you're right. We're going to 16 anyway. Well, maybe one or two years of this 12, and we'll get to 16 because there's just too much money. There's just boatloads of money coming your way. I just also think we will eventually get something in place when these new rules come in as far as the X amount of dollars that are going to the athletes, and then maybe that stabilizes some of the transfer portal at NIL.
I hope so.
Because the problem that Kirby and the Dogs, not a problem, but it's something they had to overcome this year, where they'd always have, you know, eight guys. You'd have four great starters on your defensive line or whatever your format is. And this goes for Alabama, everybody, Clemson. And now if those guys are the backups, they're gone. You know, I'm not sticking around for 2 years to wait. I'm going to go somewhere else and start and go get my NIL money. So that's just, you know, everyone's had to pivot, but we're still looking at, let's be honest, the same top 25, top 30 is about the same. It's just some players have stepped up. Florida State's gone. Miami's gotten their S together with a great quarterback. To me, it's still the same schools are always going to be in this mix, even though people do feel like the world comes to an end every time something changes in college football.
Yeah, I just want to have teams that are deserving. I have no problems with that. You're never going to take the money away that Texas has.
Right.
Even when before they got in the SEC, they were still making more money than anybody else in college football. Their athletic program, more money than anybody. Mike, you're never going to take that away. But I want deserving teams who have a chance to at least compete. And that's the only thing as a college football fan I've ever said. You know my phrase, let me see. Right. You're going to sit here, not you, but people will tell me, hey, Pittsburgh, or for that matter, Indiana's not any good. Let me see. If they went out, they deserve an opportunity to play in this thing. And then if they get beat, they get beat. But to win out and not have a chance at winning something is not the American way. And that's why I want to see it.
The other thing is, and I get it, you don't want to sit there and just beat your brains in. If you feel it, if I'm going to do an SEC Big Ten deal and the ACC's got five teams under 500, you know, why am I committing to a nine-game conference schedule? Not to mention I'm playing all killer, no filler. You know, no Austin Peay, Charlotte, no Thunder and Herd. But that's interesting. But again, there's such a margin, such a fine line. You can't, and that's why for Georgia Tech, it's imperative that Georgia Tech gets ball eligible, keeps the fans fired up, keeps the money flowing in, right? Why they're playing that game at Mercedes-Benz next year to make that extra $10 million. It's a very difficult time for some of these programs which have not been in the top 25. They got to get into it, right?
Yeah. I'll give you an interesting scenario, like Army, right? Mike and I, we've been saying this. We're going to go to the Army-Navy game again this year. It's great. It's an unbelievable atmosphere, and we invite anybody who's never been to just experience it one time. But, Mike, they're in the same conference. There is a chance, and Dan Wolken said this to me this weekend, Army and Navy could actually play in the conference championship the week before they actually play December 14th, which would mean it'd be a rematch because right now they're both undefeated and there's a chance that they can play in their conference championship. That's a crazy scenario that they would do that and then turn right back around and play in the Army-Navy game, which is the bigger, obviously the bigger event. But what does that mean for both of these teams? And then if, let's just say Army's undefeated, they don't deserve to be in the college football playoff?
Right. This would certainly be the argument about, you know, the other guys. We always think like, well, it's always but Boise State, right? That's it. SMU is now part of the ACC. Good timing for them to join finally a Power 5 conference. But you're right. Air Force, North Texas, and that game Notre Dame. And then you're right. It kind of does it devalue it, though, a little bit?
That's the point.
That's the deal.
Yep. That's the point. Now, it'd be great because maybe one has one loss by that point, and if somebody else loses, let's just say they beat Army, and then there's a rematch for the Army-Navy game, that'd be great. But I'm just saying, the service academies, if you win and your schedule, you maneuver, right, you should have a shot. That's what this playoff should be about, whether it's 12, 14, 16, 18, whatever it's going to be. Hey, coming up, Mark Raimondi is going to join us. He covers our Atlanta Falcons for ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on all these injuries and what's going on as we get ready for Tampa Bay next.
That's cool. Good stuff.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell for our friends at Finley. When it comes to your home, the wrong decision could impact your home and your family for years, guys. When it's time to replace the roof, Mike, who should they call?
Go to Finley, guys, roofroof.com. They've done over 66,000 Metro Atlanta roofs and counting. They got the best supplies, they got the best workmanship, and they got the best warranty in town. So whether you're just maybe thinking about your storm damage, did you get through those storms okay, or just want to make sure your roof is tip-top, go to roofroof.com right now.
You don't know what a lifetime labor materials warranty is until you don't have one. Mm. And when you have one, you realize the pressure's off. I don't have to worry about it. It's been installed, and guess what? If something goes wrong, I can call these guys. They will come back out. We can attest to that, guys.
Right.
These are the roof guys.
It's basically never have to worry about leaks forever. Never have to get the, you know, the pot out there. Drip, drip, drip. Never have to worry about that because these guys are on the job. As we said, schedule your free roof analysis right now at roofroof.com. So whether you want to make sure things are tip-top or you just, you know, you just want to make sure your roof is right, or maybe you want to redo your roof and get something cool like we did with ours and neighbors go, ooh, look at those shingles. Go to roofroof.com. Don't hit the roof.
Fix the roof
with Finley Roofing.